Justice Russell and all the other honorable members, judges of this court, I thank you for allowing me once again to present this matter to this court. The issue today is composed of two facets. One is the constitutionality of HB 1171, and the second phase of it is the entry of counsel for respondents. As we review 1171, it was amended by adding a statute that had something to do with population count, and then if the county met that, they could set up a county municipal court. However, they are two entirely different statutes. Even this court, in all of your Supreme Court rules, if you go back under the juvenile courts, you have 21 different separate rules for that. You don't have that for any county municipal court. And also, just last year, this court added an Appendix A to the rules of practice in the juvenile courts, which became effective the first of this year. It had to do with juvenile detention facilities. There are no such rules or regulations relative to population count or municipal court. However, in the ruling from the trial court, the judge wrongfully states in there that we struck count two of the original petition. We did not, as we preserved everything. The reason that count two wasn't included is very self-explanatory, because it dealt with the severability of part of that statute, or beg your pardon, of that House bill. And in reading various decisions from this court over the past couple of years, I understand that severability is not really an option to be used relative to the constitutionality of a statute. So we didn't bring it up again. Now, it was mentioned in the original petition that a county municipal court could not hear a case. Now, we didn't argue that because we had never been charged in the county municipal court. However, anybody reads the statute 56630 under 1171, it states that all of the arguments should deal with 660.10 to 66140. Now, in that, there are 14 different sections dealing with how it should be prosecuted in the municipal court. Now, it's amazing that if you get into this, that applies to only a constitutional chartered government, of which Franklin County is not. In other words, they could have never prosecuted a case if somebody was smart enough to know that they couldn't. Now, if respondents had really read all of this, the two statutes are in 1171 are totally different. The respondents have cited various cases, and truthfully, I read them, but I could not understand where any of them were on point in this particular matter. And yes, I did not address a lot of that. I felt they merely put these in there to bolster their arguments. However, if they had merely read two cases, Hammerschmidt and Legends Bank, and also the opinion issued by this court February the 4th of last year, they could have easily understood that 1171 was unconstitutional. The two sections in 1171, one is under Title VI, political subdivision, the second is Title XII, public health and welfare. Two entirely different things. I hate to say it, but the trial court judge could not get it straight even in his order. Truthfully, I doubt if he ever read Section 213 or merely copied the errors of respondents' counsel in their proposed judgment. In three different places in the trial court's order, it errs most egregiously by misquoting Section 213. And I quote, "Change the age when the juvenile court had jurisdiction over a child involving a state or local traffic violation from up to 15 and a half years of age to 15. Now, I don't understand that in plain, simple English, and I won't try to explain it. Then again, at the tail end of the court's judgment, he again incorrectly quotes 213, stating, lowering the age over which juvenile courts had exclusive original jurisdiction for traffic offenses from 15 and a half to 15 years of age, and the proposed amendment for their authorization of certain counties to have a county court. Now, if you read this real close, you'll find out he co-mingled the two different statutes together. That makes no logical literary sense. I don't believe that should be argued. The statute reads, the juvenile court shall not have jurisdiction over any child 15 and one-half years of age who is alleged to have violated a state or municipal traffic ordinance. None of this has anything to do with the county municipal court or the population count of a county. I would ask anyone, would not a wise and prudent judge, when he makes a judgment, not read HB 1171 so he understands exactly about what he's writing?
Can you address opposing counsel's argument that the legislature passed another statute that dealt with exactly the same subject, so it moved?
I was going to, but I can do it now if you wish.
That'd be great.
Okay, now, and this was brought up at the last hearing a year ago by Judge Wilson relative to Senate Bill 636. Mm-hmm. Now, if the county had passed an order relative to their court being under 636, we would argue that same point, it being an unconstitutional measure. Okay, now we'll carry that a little bit further, and I was going to get into that later. I'll do it now. The legislature has also passed two other bills, 621 and 672. 621 was filed early, 672 was filed a couple of months later. Now, which one has preference? They essentially say, as to the statute 56, 630, the same thing, but there's all kinds of other repeals and so on of the statute, and either one of those could be declared unconstitutional.
How would you apply the Humane Society case that dealt with that similar issue?
In the Humane Society case, Your Honor, as I looked at that, it appears to me that the Humane Society passed their suit after it had been changed, not before, when it should have been done. And I have that in my notes here. I could go back to it. But as I've read Humane Society quite close, I do not find any great relevancy to this. But if you read the two of those, I can't find room. We're dealing here with something that was passed under which the county set up its county municipal court. The county didn't set it up under any other statute or any other Senate bill. How can it be applicable? We don't know if they would have used 636, 621, or 672. But I will add an interesting sideguard to this. 621, 672 were both signed into law by the governor on the same day. Now, which one has preference? 621 first, or 672 was filed later? Or what if the governor had signed 672 10 minutes prior to the time he signed 621? We don't know. That was not an issue to be argued in the lower court. They had never passed a county order stating that one of these two new Senate bills were relevant. And they interposed it in the judge's order, in all of the counsel's writing for the respondents. They mixed these up back and forth. May I get a shot of water and a little dry here? But, Your Honor, I do not believe that's part of the issue here. None of those were ever used as a prevailing statute to set up the county municipal court. It's only 1171.
Once they're passed and signed, then they become a statute. So don't we just look at the statute at that point?
Maybe you do, Your Honor. However, if I can be so blunt as to disagree with that, sure. They set this up under 1171. Would not a wise and prudent council or commission have said, okay, here's 672, 621, or whatever it might be, and set that up? But that isn't all of the errors relative to the trial court's judgment. I cited a couple in there as to the juvenile court, but if I can go a little further, they also tax we appellants for the $30 of the summons that was sent to the Attorney General. Now, if you read the docket sheet, a few months before, the judge taxed that to the county commission, because that should have never gone to them to begin with. If you read the statute, and the judge should have, the statute says if a statute is challenged as being unconstitutional, then it goes to the Attorney General. We have never challenged a statute. Both of them in 1171 could very well be perfectly legitimate, but it's the House bill that we were challenging. But let us take that just a little bit further, Your Honor. Look at the tail end, the attachments to the judge's order. He attaches 636. Yes, that's a couple of places in there, and we've discussed that a little bit. But here's something that's very ironic and impossible to understand. The judge attaches House Bill 1211. Now, in my research, 1211 was never voted out of committee. Why in the world would a judge put that as an attachment, that it means something?
Mr. LaBelle, thank you. Your time has expired, and you'll have some time on rebuttal.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, you may proceed. My name is Mary Zastro, and I represent the commissioners of Franklin County, the respondents in this case. The commissioners respectfully request this court to dismiss this case and uphold the lower court's judgment for four reasons. First, this case is moot because appellants have not contested the most current form of Section 67-320, allowing first-class counties to set up municipal courts. Second, the appellants are seeking an unlawful advisory opinion because they do not contest the independent legislative authority for Section 67-320. Third, even if the appellants had contested the most current version of 67-320, House Bill 1171 does not violate the single subject provision under the Article 3 of the Missouri Constitution. Fourth and finally, all the counselors of representing the commissioners of Franklin County are lawfully representing the county under Section 56-640.1. For these reasons, the commissioners respectfully request this court to uphold the lower court's judgment. A threshold issue to any mootness controversy, to any case, is a mootness controversy. This issue deals with the constitutionality of 1171. However, the authority for Section 67-370 is now Senate Bill 621. This case is most like the Humane Society case. Here, the Humane Society had contested the validity of Senate Bill 795, authorizing a law that eliminated a fee exemption for animal shelters. They had claimed that the bill was a violation of the original purpose provision of the Constitution. Subsequently, the General Assembly passed Senate Bill 161, repealing and reenacting Section 273.327. This court dismissed the case, finding it was moot, stating that the repeal of the law means its complete abrogation by the enactment of a subsequent statute. A procedural defect in a bill can be rectified by repeal and reenactment. This case is the same circumstances a challenge to House Bill 1171 is moot because it's not the authority any longer for Section 67320, which allows first class counties to set up municipal courts. And for this reason, the commissioners asked that this court dismiss this case.
Mr. LeBeau argues that action was taken under the statute when it was in its allegedly defective procedural adoption, and so that isn't corrected by correcting the statute by its reenactment. Can you address that issue?
Here I would say that it's no longer the authority for our municipal court any longer. So the appellants have stated that their only relief that they are asking for in this case is to find House Bill 1171 unconstitutional, not the statute. And if the bill has no authority any longer, statute is law, bills aren't law, there's no relief to be granted for the appellant. The lower court correctly held that appellants are seeking an unlawful advisory opinion. In their petition, they do not address Senate Bill 636, which also provided independent legislative authority for Section 67320. And without addressing that issue, we could end up in court again discussing the constitutional validity of a Senate bill that was not addressed by the appellants. The appellants also are, the only relief that they are seeking is a judgment on the constitutional validity of House Bill 1171. They specifically removed count two, as Mr. LeBeau has stated, from their amended petition, which had stated that possibly Franklin County Municipal Court would not be able to prosecute cases, but they specifically removed count two from their amended petition. So all they are seeking right now is a judgment on House Bill 1171, which has no authority over the law anymore. Even if House Bill 1171 provided for the authority to the amendments of 67320, the lower court correctly held that House Bill 1171 does not violate the single subject provision. The test to determine whether it meets the single subject rule is whether the provisions fairly relate to the same subject. The provisions have a natural connection to the title if the provisions deal with the means to accomplish the purpose of this title.
Counsel, I have a question related to your prior argument.
Yes.
So if somebody was charged in your municipal court, could they raise the procedural constitutional argument as a defense in their case? And if so, which bill would they have to attack, every bill for which you rely on? Or would
Your Honor, they would attack the most current version of the statute that the court is using to prosecute them. So here it would be 67320 and House Bill 621, or Senate Bill 621, mm-hmm. is the most current bill. And here they would be contesting the statute. That's the law in this case.
If they're making a procedural constitutional argument, how could they ever? I understand that bills become law and become a statute, but if you're making a procedural constitutional argument, wouldn't you always have to attack the bill? You might have to attack several bills if that's what it took to make the statute. But I guess I'm trying to you think that the last version is the only one that somebody would have to raise as a defense?
According to Humane Society of the United States, yes.
The Humane Society, there was only one subsequent bill in the Humane Society case. There weren't multiple subsequent bills dealing with the.
Here we're talking about the subsequent bill of Senate Bill 621.
I think you're saying that even if the earlier bill was invalid because it dealt with multiple subjects, mm-hmm. the current statute was enacted pursuant to a later bill, and so you would have to show that later bill was invalid in order to invalidate the current statute?
Yes, Your Honor.
And if there were multiple bills, somebody would just have to attack all of them.
Well, if
the way I understand your argument.
Multiple concurrent bills.
Yes, and if the procedural defects of a previous bill are rectified in the legislature taking action to reenact a bill, it has resolved the issue. And I would argue that House Bill 1171 never did violate the single subject provision in the beginning. The title of House Bill 1171 is an act to repeal Section 67320 and 211031 and to enact in lieu thereof two new sections relating to courts. Here, House Bill 1171 changed the age of jurisdiction for juvenile courts to have over juveniles and traffic violations from 15 and a half to 15. This deals with the jurisdiction of courts relating to courts. Counties of certain, and then the second change amendment allowed counties of a certain population to establish municipal courts. This relates to courts. Appellants argue that relating to courts is a broad term, many different courts. The only requirement is that the bill generally indicate the subject. And the only time that where a case's title has been found constitutionally overbroad is when it could virtually describe any legislation passed by the General Assembly. Here, the title generally indicates that the subject of the bill is relating to courts. Both of the amendments related to juvenile court and municipal court, and we respectfully request that this court affirm the lower court's judgment.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. LeBeau.
Your Honor, real quick, because I didn't get a chance to get into it. The second phase of this was the representation of the county. We have an interloper here. This person has no statutory authority whatsoever to be in front of this court. Everything she said is a nullity. And let me quote the statute, 56640, which she also quoted, but they missed the second sentence. The county counselor shall commence, prosecute, or defend as the case may require and exercise exclusive authority. Words mean what the words say. The county counselor should be here. At none of these proceedings has the county commission nor the county counselor ever given sworn testimony that we have an ordinance, we have this order that's saying these people can represent him. This young lady here just came in on this case a few weeks ago or a few days ago. But the point is, the statute is very clear. They have absolutely no authority. Everything that they say is nugatory. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The matter will be taken under submission.
Thank you.